our guest this evening, Tommy Roy. He's the executive producer for NBC, unless with the merger, he now has, he's the producer of golf. And I'm sure he has more titles now with the merger with the Golf Channel. But he's basking in the glow of a huge victory last night by his Arizona Wildcats. How you doing tonight, Tommy?
I'm pretty good, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's start there.
Shocking developments out there in Tucson last night.
I went upstairs after dinner and turned on the TV, and the game was over, and it was in the first quarter.
What a turnaround from thus far in the season, but glad to see it.
Now, that was an awful lot of fun. We haven't had a chance to speak, so I'm going to ask you some questions I should probably know the answer to. Are you headed down to Australia in a couple of weeks?
Yes, I am. Looking forward to it. That should be quite an event down there. You know, this whole President's Cup competition, actually all the cups, you know, President's Cup, Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup, are sure intriguing developments in the game, where it's just great fun. And, you know, with the team atmosphere, and you see these players sort of under pressure that you just don't see when they play as individuals. So it's a lot of fun to cover. And that golf course down there sort of has a Pine Valley look and feel to it. And, you know, with sort of ample driving areas, but up around the green, there are these raggedy bunkers that you better not get in, or you're not going to get it up and down for par. And then the whole deal with Australia, you know, it's a pretty exotic place down there that I think if you ask most Americans, where's the one place on this planet that you'd like to see in person, and most of them will say Australia. So we're looking forward to it.
No, I completely agree. And I don't ever remember a President's Cup that has been this talked about among not only the press, but the players, the captains, Jeff Ogilvy chiming in, and a lot of that centering around Tiger Woods. Just your opinion, was that a good pick for Fred Couples?
I think it is a good pick. You know, I haven't talked to Fred to find out, you know, the scenario behind it, but sort of my guess is he picked him so early. You know, there was so much speculation. Is he going to pick Tiger? Is he not going to pick Tiger? And when he did, it shut all that up. And I don't know if that was his goal to just, you know, get people to stop asking him about it, but it worked, because once he picked him, they stopped asking him, you know, are you going to take him or not? And, you know, I've seen some absurd stuff written about that NBC pressured him into picking the tour. You know, that's crazy. That just doesn't happen. So at any rate, I'm glad he's on board, though. And, you know, some of the recent comments by Greg Norman, I think, make it a little more intriguing. Although what I find interesting is, you know, a few years back, if that would have happened, I would have been salivating over that possibility of getting Tiger irritated with the other side, because you almost for certain knew that he was going to come back and, you know, exact some sort of revenge with his golf game, a la Stephen Ames in the match play. But
sure.
But who knows this time around if he will, but it sure will be interesting to find out.
I think it may just be exactly the motivation that he needed. I think the entire world of golf feels badly for Keegan Bradley. He obviously had the best year any rookie's had on the PGA Tour in a long, long time. But maybe that's more a product of the process being a 2-year process rather than a 1-year process. And that's something that may be looked at in the future. Obviously, Tiger anywhere in the world is going to be a bigger draw than Keegan Bradley. And as you said, that's not why Freddie picked him. But it was. I agree with you. I think it was the right pick. Let's go back a few weeks. Let's go back to your pictures at the Tour Championship and Bill Haas in the water at 17. What were your thoughts when he crawled down there into the water?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I usually get to a tournament site on Tuesday, and first thing I do is zip around the golf course and look at the landing area, you know, the drive zones, and go up to the green surrounds and see what sort of trouble you know, lurks for players, and that bank has been shaved for years there, so we knew about that, and we had cameras that were in position for a ball trickling down there and getting in the water. But what's interesting is on Wednesday when we did our facilities check and our little rehearsal that we do, and I send all the announcers in out to their towers and we're in place, and we show them every camera angle of every hole. And when we got to 17, Gary Cook was pointing out, hey, guys, you know, a ball can get down there, and in the past it was unplayable. But this year, a ball could end up in that muck. In fact, it's more than likely going to stop in that muck, and a guy's going to be able to play it out of there. So we actually were prepared for it. I will say it was kind of dumb luck that the one angle that we had was from our camera at 18 looking back over there, and I think that honestly was the definitive angle, because the camera behind 17 showed him down in there, but the camera that was from across the lake showed just how high the bank was that he had to hit up and over, you know, which is like, it was a good 6 feet above his head. And so we had all those angles and the super slow-mo, and it was actually pretty darn cool, I do have to admit.
I agree with you. And actually my thought watching it, covering it on radio, was, where in the heck is that camera? Do they have a camera in the water? Because
no, we didn't have in the water. We had the camera over behind 18th green, camera behind 17. We had a flanker camera at 17. We had the super slow-mo mini that walks with them. We had another mini camera walking with that group. I mean, basically what happens is the cameras and cameramen that are on 10, 11, and 12, as the leaders go through their holes, they move forward, and they're up in position for the last couple holes, so that we have the tight shots of the ball, tight shots of face reactions when the last couple groups go through. So we had all those different angles. And I bet you set it up really well, and I was really proud of our announcers how Gary Cook and Johnny set it up from when he was in the fairway bunker, the possibility of hitting it at the pin and not being able to hold that green, and of course that happened. And then Johnny was fabulous setting up how it is possible to play that water shot, which I knew it was possible to hit it out of there like a bunker shot, but I certainly didn't think it'd have the spin on it.
That was my thought, and the point that I made was, you know, these guys practice every shot that they're ever going to face, except for this one. You're going
right
in there. I mean, you're guessing a little bit on that one. I thought the other thing, and tell me how much this ranks in priority for you guys. I thought the way that you told the story with shots of Jay Haas and shots of Julie and their reaction to putts and shots down the stretch, I thought that was fantastic, the way that you really told the story and how much it meant to the entire family, not just Bill.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, sport is more about the human drama than it is necessarily of the athletic achievement. You know, that's what this is all about, and that comes from our Olympic training. So whenever, you know, you can give the folks at home a real reason to root for a player or an athlete, that's when you're doing your job, and there's no better way to do that than to tie in a mom and a dad rooting for their son, you know, to win this championship. You know, so it was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it was great stuff. It was a great tournament. Where would you rank that shot in terms of greatest shots of all time? Is it up there with Sean McKeel? Is it up there with Tiger in Canada? Where would you put it?
Best one of this year, I'll put it that way.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, it's hard to put it in relation of that shot of Tiger in Canada was unbelievable. But this thing, I mean, the great thing about it is now the FedEx Cup really has something to hang their hat on too. You know, this shot that'll be remembered for forever, basically.
Right, and the fact that Luke Donald's now lost it two consecutive years. Was it at all diminished in your mind the fact that Bill didn't realize until it was over that he'd actually won the FedEx Cup?
I don't know if it diminishes it. It's kind of shocking because we had just done the interview with his dad, and his dad knew, and then they were spending time over on the driving range, and so I'm guessing that he purposely didn't want to tell him. But bottom line is, you know, it all came down to that. I mean, that was the great thing is it's very complicated, as you well know, keeping track of the points. And there were so many possibilities coming down the stretch where, you know, Baddeley was in it, and Haas and Hunter, and then KJ got in there, and then you had Donald and Webb sitting in the players' room. So all these different possibilities of what might happen, but it ultimately came down to, okay, here's a playoff. Whoever wins the playoff not only wins Tour Championship, but they win the whole FedEx Cup.
Would you agree then that, you know, this proves that the playoff system and the point system is fine, and that, look, we've gotten it right. We've had some great competitions over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think it is. I think the onus is really on us as broadcasters to explain it to the people at home. It's interesting when Mickelson won the Tour Championship, but Tiger won the whole FedEx Cup a couple of years ago. We put up a graphic, I'm telling you, over the course of 4 days, at least 30 times that explained this scenario. And when we got off the air, like the next day, I called my mom, who's a pretty avid sports fan, and a pretty avid golf fan. And I said, so you understood how this all took place, that Mickelson won, but he didn't win the whole FedEx Cup. And she goes, nope. So first thing was like, well, I guess that was a heck of a thing. But I think what happens is, you know, it made me think about the election coverage of the networks every time there's a presidential election, and they all try to top each other with these fancy graphics to explain what's going on. And what happened was the late Tim Russert came up with this whiteboard that he would, you know, forget all the graphics, because I think what happens is the viewer's eyes just glaze over when these things come up there. And it took Tim Russert to just write it out on a board to explain it. So that's why we came up with the concept of what Steve Sands does, where he's actually writing it out and the people at home could finally understand what happens. And I think we did a good job of that, although I will say, when we were coming down the stretch and there was just a couple of groups left on the course, and the folks in the truck were urging me to go to Sands one more time, and I said, nope, I'm not doing it. We're staying with the drama, the scene. We're not leaving this. And it's funny because I went and looked at the tape afterwards, and if you'd been watching all along, you understood it, but if you were flipping over from a football game, you probably still didn't quite get it until they actually went to the playoff.
I think that's exactly right. And Professor Steve does a great job. There's no question. Now, you have the Nationwide Tour in your backyard this week. Have you been out to see the boys yet?
I went out there yesterday briefly. It's ironic. I was actually down in Orlando today near where you are, meeting at the Golf Channel facilities, getting ready for President Cup graphics and various things. So I listened to your analysis as we're coming home. Thank you very much. I have to ask, last event that we did where BioKim was in there, that's how we're referring to him, and then I heard you calling him BioKim, so I guess we have to be updated, kind of the Langer Longer thing, I'm presuming?
Yeah, we got a directive from the tour that said it's B-O. Same thing happened last week, obviously, with Wusthazen, which I can never get that one right either. But, yeah, they're saying B-O Kim. That's what he said. We always, when there's confusion, we try to get it from the player and record it. And
right.
Whatever they call themselves seems to be right.
Well, I'm glad I heard that, because I'm sure if I hadn't, the next turn I'd have been calling him BioKim again. So I'm glad we're going to have that right. But yeah, it's good to have the Nationwide event here. Last year we actually had a couple players staying at our house here, and they didn't come back this year. Nate Smith's on the PGA Tour, and Travis Bertoni is actually at Q School, so they're not with us this year. But the Valley course is so hard, the way they've got it set up with this rough. It's pretty funny. We have a regular game, myself, my co-producer Tom Randolph, Bill Kratzert, and Mike Bodney from used to be with the PGA Tour, a very good player. And so we go usually play the Valley course, and the last few times been like, you know what? The stadium is easier and more fun. Let's go play there. And when that's the case, it's really tough.
No question. Well, 3-under was leading after the first round, and I actually talked to Jerry Foltz this morning and asked him how windy it was down there. And he said, really not that bad. 6-under's leading now. Gavin Coles and Brian Stewart have gotten it to 6-under. So has Tim Wilkinson. So, yeah, 10-under par. You know, I like the idea of these last couple events on the Nationwide Tour being very hard. I don't want to keep you too much longer. I did want to ask about the going forward, the idea of having the PGA Tour, Nationwide Tour players playing off to basically see which 50 players get their card. Do you like this idea? Are you in favor of it, or have you even really paid attention to it?
Well, I'm in favor of it because I think the fall series, having that become where they give FedEx Cup points, will get better fields and make those more compelling. And so, therefore, they had to go with the system for the Nationwide players. I mean, what you're guaranteeing is that, yeah, Q School was always hard all those rounds. You know, you'd have to fight your way in. But now you're guaranteed you got guys that are tournament tough, you know, not just six rounds tough. They're tournament tough from multiple events that are making their way onto the PGA Tour. So I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, I see both sides of the argument. If I was coming out of college in a year or two and was told I couldn't go to Q School and get my tour card, I probably wouldn't like that. But it is just the wave of the future. Tommy, we appreciate your time tonight. Have a great time down there in Australia. We look forward to your pictures.
Well, thank you very much, John. Appreciate being on the show.